Thank you, Rabbi Rothwax, and thank you all for joining me this morning. I want to start off by extending my sincere gratitude to the topic of gratitude. And this is one of my favorite topics, and it has a personal history for myself that around 10 or 11 years ago, I was in Azrieli as a student, in Reitz as a student, trying to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I was taking a course with Dr. David Palkovitz at Azrieli, and the topic of gratitude was discussed and researched, and I took off with it. And I gave a shiur right around this time, before I knew I was going to be a psychologist, right around Hanukkah time at my shul, Kingsway Jewish Center, where at the time I was a rabbinic intern. I had no idea I would be there still to this day either. And that shiur that I gave, you could find it on YU Torah. You could compare and contrast whether or not I've gotten better or worse over the course of time. But the research that I did in the psychology field, in the field of psychology and in the Torah world, and compare and contrast, and it was the first time that I really explored that in my own self and put me on a path for the next 10 to 12 years or so, where I can come back now and blend those two in hopefully a more professional way. But it's really amazing to actually reflect on how a concept, how an idea can have such an impact on your life. And the question that I'm going to start exploring with you as of right now is, to what extent can you actually have gratitude towards a concept? What are the parameters, the contours of when it is appropriate, when it might not be gratitude anymore? A little bit on the background, part of the title, what I was trying to get at, is that there's a surface level of gratitude that we can think about, and then there's really a depth of ideas, a depth of feeling of what gratitude can be about if we dig. So what I want to do to start off with is to ask some fundamental, what are philosophical questions that overlap with the psychological. And if you look in your source sheet on the first page, this might be a strange source to start a Kol Yom Rishon with. The author's name is Christian Christensen. Nonetheless, there's a tremendous amount of analysis done here to ask the appropriate questions in terms of how we should be thinking about gratitude. And as I do it, as we go through this, I want you to, it's going to frame some of the concepts that we're going to see for the rest of this year, and we're going to compare and contrast from a Judaic perspective, as well as see some of the psychological sources to see how can we understand gratitude for our own selves, how that relates to Hanukkah, and perhaps how we can grow together, not just as people, but as individuals, but as communities, and strengthen our connection to God as well. So if you look on the first page, the author asks a few important questions. The first one on the left-hand side, where it says A, is what sort of thing does the concept denote? Meaning, what is considered gratitude? It makes a strong contrast here. Whereas medieval and early modern discussions of gratitude tended to refer to it as a set of admirable actions of expressing thanks. So that's previous. One model to look at this is that it's what I say, how I express it. But more recently, the cognitive revolution in psychology and the upsurge of virtue ethics in philosophy have combined in turning attention to the internal emotional nature of gratitude. So just to back up for a second and see what's at stake here. When we think of any sort of concept, the psychological concept, we can look at it from three different perspectives. And to give, usually Sunday morning in my shul, I give a Perkei Avos here. So I have to bring in some Perkei Avos to be Yotze. If you go to the second mission in Perkei Avos, we have three things the world stands on. What are the three things? Torah, Vavoda, Gmilas Chasadim. On the concept of Torah, whether that's learning Torah or fulfilling Torah, Avoda, which is service, perhaps davening or sacrifices, and Gmilas Chasadim, which is acts of kindness. You have those three things. So what's interesting in Perkei Avos is that if you go through, especially the first two chapters, you'll notice that most of the rabbis who are talking tell us three things. There's three concepts within each Mishnah. So why three things? So there's various interpretations. Maharal explains that three is just an easy number to remember. So usually they tell you three things, but that's like a surface level. Once you start going to the depths, you can really try to figure out what each of these three is trying to represent. What's the symbolism here? So when you think of three, what are our options? So famous groups of threes, you can think of things in terms of Bein Adam Lamakom, between man and God, between man and friend, Bein Adam Chavero, and then the third one would be Bein Adam La'atzmo. So the Maharal actually says this when it comes to these three. Torah references the concept of Bein Adam Lamakom, how I represent and relate to God. Avoda, or exist. Two different opinions on here. That could also be, I think the Maharal says that's for the self. A different interpretation says it's for God. So you can debate that a little bit, but let's go with God for a second. Torah for God, avoda for self. Again, you could technically flip that and say Torah is for self, avoda is for God, or relationship to God. And then obviously, Bein Adam Chavero is Gemilas Chasadim. So Torah, avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. Is Bein Adam Lamakom, Bein Adam Chavero, Bein Adam La'atzmo. Alternatively, this is something that the Nesiva Shalom says, the Slonim Rebbe, that the three can be understood not just between Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim, but as well as in reference to the concept of Torah as thoughts, Avoda as emotions, so I service God, and Gemilas Chasadim as actions. So we have here in this three of Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, this triangle, we can interpret it from two different ways, and we're about to do this in the gratitude literature. We can look at it from between myself and God, myself and my fellow man, and myself, Bein Adam La'atzmo, as well as from a concept of thoughts, how I think about a concept, Torah, Avodah, how I feel about a concept, and Gemilas Chasadim, how I act about a concept. So with that, going back to what we just saw, the question about gratitude is, what's the emphasis about gratitude here? Is gratitude about a behavior? That's apparently how it was conceptualized in pre-modern times. It is often emphasized as an action, something I express, something I do, something I reciprocate. Somebody does something good to me, I have to do something back to them. So it's an action, a behavior. Alternatively, says more recently, the way it's conceptualized in psychology is cognitively, meaning what are my thoughts about gratitude? How am I thinking about gratitude? And then finally, from a philosophical perspective, he talks about an emotional virtue ethics, which is related to how I feel internally about gratitude. So which one is it? I would argue that it's going to be an element of both, of all three. And in the end, to sort of jump to the conclusion, which perhaps is a little anticlimactic, but I think it's going to be interesting as we develop it, is that we want to incorporate and encapsulate gratitude within the broadest framework. That's like the breadth of gratitude, that all of these opinions that we're going to see in all these debates, in the end, all of these should be things that we are thinking about, because there's no right or wrong answer. It's a balance in trying to figure out how to integrate all of these components together. So when we think about gratitude from a prism of thoughts, we want to think about and feel gratitude from an emotional perspective. And then we also want to be conceptualizing it from, how are we going to behave? What do we do? How do we express that gratitude? So that's point number one. Point number two, on the bottom of the page, the question is gratitude a triadic or a dyadic concept? This relates to what we just explained, but if you're going to look at gratitude as a triad, so triad is three, so what are the three in relation to gratitude? So some philosophers say that you absolutely need three things. What are the three things? You need the person who is doing a benefit to somebody else. You need the person who's receiving the benefit. And what's the third thing that you... You need the benefit, and you need the person receiving the benefit. What's the question about the third thing? Is it a diet? Is it two, or is it three? So do you need somebody to bestow the benefit in order to have gratitude? Does gratitude require a giver That's the question that the philosophers ask. In psychology, the assumption is it doesn't. So let's just put this practically speaking. I'm walking down the street and I find a $20 bill. It's on the floor. Can I feel gratitude about that? So some philosophers would say, absolutely not. Why not? Because nobody gave you that. You need a triad. You need somebody to give you that benefit in order for it to be a feeling of gratitude. Now, what would you guess the Torah perspective on that is? Do you need somebody to give you the benefit in order to feel that gratitude? I'm walking down the street. I find a $20 bill. Should I be thinking in the frame of gratitude? So here's where there's going to be a fundamental difference between philosophy and perhaps some psychology on the one hand and a Torah spiritual religious perspective. Because it's always, at the very least, a triad. Because you have the $20 bill you're finding out on the street. That's what you get. I'm getting it as the person. But where's my third? God. So you're always going to have that being Adam Lamakom. There's some interesting research, and I gave you some sources you could look at the back. We're not going to go through them inside, but on the second to last page, I gave you the abstracts from a few different studies. The second to last page on the bottom, there's an interesting research study by David Rosmarin, who's a from psychologist who does a lot of great research. And the concept is grateful to God or just plain grateful. That's the title of the essay. And what he wanted to do was to show that there's all this literature that's coming out, that gratitude is so amazing for you. It makes you happier. It just improves your life on so many levels. And the experiment that they did was to show that if you think about gratitude, not just from a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspect between man and fellow man, or Bein Adam L'Atzmo, it's about me getting better, but you also add this Bein Adam L'Makom component, now you have so many more opportunities for gratitude, because that $20 bill is a gratitude experience now, even though there's nobody giving it to you. If you didn't believe in God, then that's not a gratitude experience. So basically the span and the scope, the opportunities for you to experience gratitude multiply astronomically once you add God to the picture, because everything that happens to you is now an opportunity for a relationship, at least a triad between you, God, and that benefit. But I'll add that there's something missing from the triad, because now, forget about the $20 bill example. Somebody gives you a $20 bill. Now what do you have? So in psychology, philosophy, you have your triad. You have the benefit. You have the person giving it to you, and you're the receiver. But what are we still missing? You're still missing God. So it's really four. It's four. It's the benefit. It's the person giving it to you. It's you getting it. And there's always going to be God. So everything that happens, this is the shift. Everything that happens, even when somebody else gives you a benefit, we should always be elevating that to it's sort of like this perspective of gratitude that has so many layers and depths to it that, yes, you have to express gratitude to that person who's giving it to you. That's clear. We'd never say not to. But you also have to think about how God made it this way that you are able to get this benefit from this person. So it's really four that are going to be four elements in each part of gratitude if somebody's giving you something. One last issue, and then we'll see some Torah sources. And as we see the Torah sources, I want you to sort of think about these concepts in the background. So if you look in C, supererogation and intentionality conditions. The first page on C, the right-hand side. Basically, the question is gratitude only something that I can only experience if it's somebody's going above and beyond what's expected? So meaning, if it's sort of standard, status quo, I expect this, I'm supposed to get it, I deserve it. Am I obligated, or can I even, theoretically, conceptually speaking, feel gratitude for something that's expected? So presumably everybody has a feeling about this, right? Do you thank the bus driver even though they're supposed to drive the bus? So My guess is, I might be reading the room incorrectly. My guess is that we would all say that, yes, what's wrong with that? But it's really not that clear, again, conceptually speaking, if that's true. That might not be considered gratitude. Gratitude might be only when somebody does something above and beyond. And to give you a Torah perspective on this, I think it's a little complicated, but one source that goes in this direction, we read about Leah. So Leah had four children. The fourth one, she names Yehuda. Why did she name him Yehuda? So it's Hapam Oda Es Hashem. This time I will thank Hashem. Why this time? Why not for the first time, the second time, and the third time? So Rashi says that it's because she knew there were going to be 12 Shvatim, four mothers. That should be three each. Now that I have the fourth, that was not expected. Now I'm gonna thank Hashem. So you even though we have this conception that you should thank for everything, even if it's not expected, there is some. Even if it is expected, there is some element and hint that there's some added benefit to a gratitude that is above and beyond, that's not expected at all. So as we go through the sources, let's see, should we be taking a, what I would call a minimalist view of gratitude, that in all these questions, we should be sort of machmir? No, that's, I guess depends how you define machmir and mekel. But is it an inclusive list that includes all of these types of every possibility for gratitude? Yes. That's gratitude. Yes, that's gratitude. Yes, that's gratitude. These are all opportunities for gratitude. Or should we take a sort of more exclusive? Gratitude is only for this particular situation, for that type of person, and only when it's not expected, and only when it's somebody who's giving it to you, and not if it's on. So which one are we going to be taking? So my argument is going to be, broadly speaking, is that we should take the broadest possible view to incorporate and include gratitude in all of these situations. So if you flip your page to the second side, there's a new book that came out from Magid Press, OU Press, from Rav Soloveitchik, called Blessings and Thanksgiving. So in Yana Dioma, appropriate for the current week. And Rav Soloveitchik has a few many insightful points in terms of what gratitude is all about. And we'll start with one. He quotes here, I have often cited Rabbeinu Bachya's insight that the feeling of gratitude is the basic religious emotion upon which the religious experience in general and the Jewish religious experience in particular are based. So right now he's building this and making gratitude is the foundation of religion. Right, this is what Judaism is all about. It's a pretty strong statement. Continuing, because gratitude is a reflective experience, a meditative experience, in order to be grateful, one must be intelligent. So here, if you go back to how we started, we have our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is arguing, don't think that gratitude is just an emotion. It's this fuzzy feeling, and it has nothing to do with thinking. Gratitude is an intelligent even if you want to incorporate it as an emotion, it has to be intelligent. There has to be thinking involved. The experience of the beautiful has very little to do with intelligence. So he's contrasting it here with a more aesthetic, artsy, poetic approach, which would be just emotional, not necessarily thinking, saying that's not what gratitude is. Gratitude isn't just this fluffy, mushy concept. There's depth to it. There's thinking involved. Since the experience of gratitude is a moral experience, it requires reflection. And now he's adding another element. What does it mean that it's a moral experience? It means that it also has to do with how I relate to other people. So it's not just about the thinking. It's not just about the emotion. It's also about the action, the expression of that. Rabbeinu Bachya introduces gratitude in Shar HaBechina of his Chovos HaLevavos. The word Bechina in the chapter title means analysis, discrimination. If one cannot discriminate, one either cannot be thankful or is thankful for things and goods that don't merit indebtedness. They have to be able to analyze, to think. The greatest goods given to them, they are not grateful for because they simply do not understand. The greater the reflection, the more intellectual power brought to bear, the more durable the gratitude, because the intellectual experience is a long-lasting experience. Rabbi Soloveitchik makes a strong case here that we need to think critically about gratitude. We can't just go through our lives without actually reflecting, because then we are going to miss so many opportunities that deserve us to feel gratitude. We should be feeling gratitude, but we don't because we're just not reflective. So Rabbeinu Bachya has his Shar HaBechina in order to teach us that gratitude requires discrimination analysis. On the bottom of the page, you have a very fascinating source by Rav Kook. It's based on the Gemara. I gave you the Gemara that we're not going to see the whole thing inside, but we'll read the first line so you get a feel for what's going on here. So Rav Yochanan says, in the name of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Pia pascha b'chachma b'soras chesed al lishona. So famous pasuk we say in Eishes Chayil, her mouth opens with wisdom, and there is the Torah of chesed on her lips. Keneged, the Gemara asks, Keneged mi amar Shlomo mikra zeh? So Shlomo, who writes this in Mishlei, Keneged, against who? Meaning, what does he have in mind when he is reciting this pasuk? So he says, Lo amru ela keneged David aviv. He's saying this about David. Shedar b'chamisha olamim v'amar shira. He lived, David was in five different worlds. Here it means five different stages of his development, life development. And he said praise, he sang at each one of these stages. And then the Gemara goes and tells you each one of these stages. He was in his mother's womb and he sang, and he, when he got out, he sang, and he sang, and he sang, and he sang. And David does a lot of singing because David is Tehillim. David is a wonderful singer. So Rav Kook here takes this idea, which obviously is going to overlap with gratitude. Singing and gratitude are going to are sort of cousins. So Rav Kook writes, Shnei Dvarim Yeshnam Hadrushim L'Shleimus Ha'adam. We need two different components in order for us to feel complete. Haseichel veHergesh. We have to have intelligence and feeling. And you can already see what direction we're going in. It's not just about thinking. It's not just about feeling. There has to be a balance between thinking and feeling. And what he develops, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole thing inside. You can look at it on your own. What he develops is that David is a paradigm of somebody who combines this tremendous thought. If you go through the Gemara, there's thinking involved. Where am I in my life? Where am I in the world? What has God done for me? And that changes, it's a very important perspective, that changes over the course of your lifetime. So just like they say, when it comes to, if you're reading Chumash, the same way you're when you're in third grade, you read when you're 30, and the same way you read with 60, and the same way you're reading when you're 90, there's something wrong with that. We'll figure that out. But the same thing can be said about gratitude. If you're experiencing gratitude the same way you felt when you were 3, the same way you felt when you were 7 and 20 and 30 and 50 and 80 and 90, there's something wrong with that. Because as we go through the stages, we need to be reflective of how things have changed, how I've developed, how God has graced me with X, Y, and Z, how these people in my life has changed. Now I have more experience. I have more analysis. I can think more critically about how something has impacted my life. Then my gratitude is going to expand. And what Kook argues is that it's that through that critical thinking that the depth of the emotion, the feeling, becomes intensified. So it is that because I'm able to think critically and then combine them, this is the paradigm of David. He says most people can't do this. Most people are either thinkers or feelers. That's what it is. David's Mila, the greatness of David, is that he was able to combine the critical analysis with the feeling. And going one step further, it is through the critical analysis that he was able to intensify the emotional experience of gratitude. If you flip the page should be page 3 in the source sheets, we're going to see one more idea from Rav Soloveitchik, and then we're going to transition to Hanukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik here, and in order to give you a context for this, there's a, when we think about gratitude, so now we want to sort of go, we just went from depth, there's a depth to gratitude, to breath, right? The experiences, the context for me to be able to feel gratitude on several different layers, not just dig deeping by thinking and analyzing. That's one, that's the depth, but also from the breath. Actually, before I get there, I'm going to share with you a fascinating book written by AJ Jacobs. It's called Thanks a Thousand. Okay, so AJ Jacobs is a author. He's an immersive author. So meaning he goes and he will take on a project and become that person for a, you know, a year or so, and then write his experience. So to give you one concept, which perhaps we'll get back to later, is one of his most famous books is The Year of Living Biblically. So he's not a religious fellow, but he decided one year he's literally going to commit to following the Doraisas, if you will. I mean, he wasn't interpreting it through the rabbinic lens, but he went through the psukim in the Torah, and he said, I'm going to follow these psukim to the letter. And it's a funny book, and it creates a lot of tension with his wife and interactions in the streets. And it's an interesting and funny read. So again, we might get back to that book, but because he talks about gratitude there, but then he the point here is that he immerses himself in the experience and then writes about it. So this experience, Thanks a Thousand, is that he really wanted to get to the depths of gratitude, right? So this is section one in terms of this, the depths of gratitude. So what did he do? He said, I have this cup of coffee in front of me. Who do I have to thank for this cup of coffee? Now, this is a fascinating thought experiment if you really want to do this. Who do I have to thank for this cup of coffee? So I have to thank, you know, the barista who gave it to me. Who else? The guy who cooks. So you're already expanding your thought already. The coffee picker. Literally 1,000 people. He sat down and he analyzed 1,000 people he had to thank for this cup of coffee. And he went on this whole exploration. The cup, the coffee, how he had to figure out like who created that hot. What's it called? There's actually a word for it. It's escaping for the moment. The thing that you put around that keeps you from burning yourself. And he went and he literally thanked 1,000 people who were in charge of making him this cup of coffee. The people on over you from the back here. Because I wanted to show how life-changing gratitude can be. So I thank the barista, the lid designer, the South American farmer, the trucker who hauled the coffee, the folks who paved the road for the trucker, the people who painted the stripes on the highway so the truck didn't veer into traffic. It turned out to be a surprisingly huge number of people. And that's the book is outlining the 1,000 people you have to thank for this. It's a tremendous, the depth, again, the thinking that has to go through the creativity to be able to do that. And I'm going to plant the seeds for where hopefully we're going to be going if we have, should have enough time. He didn't just think it. He actually expressed it. So that's going to push us from the Bein Adam La'atzmo. It's not just about myself, but it's also about the social element. So hopefully we'll have time to get there. But that's just a great example of the depth of gratitude. But now let's go to breath. So look at Rav Soloveitchik has to write here. The analysis of the chapter has to do with the Birchos HaShachar, the blessings that we say when we wake up in the morning. And there's a whole debate. We say, you know, thank you for Pokeach Ivrim. You open the eyes, you open the eyes of the blind, right? So, and we say so many different things. There's a few different interesting questions that he's analyzing. Number one is, why Pokeach Ivrim? It's sort of like this generalized statement. If it's this personal quality of I can see, so why don't you just say, thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to see? But that's not what we say. We say for opening the eyes of the blind. This is sort of this general societal global question. It's not a personalized gratitude. And then he analyzes also, if you're interested, you can look into it. We're not going to go through the details now, but why it's a question. Are you supposed to say the brachos when you personally experience it? So when I get up and I get out of my bed and I stand up straight, so Zokev Kefufim, I'm standing up straight now. Or as we do and our tradition is that we, you know, we go to shul and when we daven, we say all of them together. So it's not as we're experiencing it, but it's sort of this this ritualistic formulation of it. So it's an interesting debate in the Rishonim. Yeah. So there's the Gemara, the Rambam talks about it, but yeah, our custom is not that way. So he has a good analysis there of what that's all about. But what, you know, the main point is that the whole concept here is one of gratitude breath, right? I'm waking up in the morning and I'm thinking about all of the, not just the 1,000 people who made this one cup of coffee, but the 1,000 things that I'm grateful for, right? Not taking anything for granted. Everything that I'm doing, everything I'm stepping, don't take that for granted. So that's the breadth, the scope. There's so many possible things I can be grateful for. So why is that? So A, you know, it's clear that we're trying. Hashem wants us, the Chazal wanted us to have in mind, don't just be grateful for the things that are expected. That are not expected. Be grateful for the things that are every day, that we do take for granted. So the question is why? So A, because it gives us this opportunity to feel this connection, this with Hashem, with others. But B, it's because maybe in truth, it's not expected. It's not, we shouldn't take anything for granted that I will get up and open my eyes. So we'll see that a little bit in the context of Hanukkah. But if you look here, go to the last paragraph of that third page, left-hand side. He adds one more dimension here. Why is it, again, that we say this as not a personalized, I am thankful that I have sight, but this broader statement? So he says that according to this, we're jumping here, but if you, the last paragraph summarizes it, hopefully enough to get the understanding. Thus, according to our interpretation, the series of blessings within the Berachos HaShachar, beginning with who opens the eyes of the blind, followed by close the naked, releases the bound, straightens the bent, contains an ethical message. So this isn't just about gratitude for me to feel good about myself or to feel good about God, but there's a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspect here as well. It's fascinating. Never thought about this. I could see the Bein Adam Malkum. I could see the Bein Adam La'atzmo. But where do you see Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? What's the ethical message in these blessings? They were chosen due to some charismatic relevance. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Although their relationship to the particular physical event is a vague one. These blessings can be denominated the ethical group of the morning blessings. When one pronounces these brachos, he outlines the program for his own life, giving sight to the blind, clothing the naked, freeing the bound, straightening the bent. This accords the principle of metatio dei, as he does, so must I do, ba'alachta b'drachot. So salvation is saying, it's a fascinating insight. The brachos that we say are a charge to us to actually then go fix the world. We should be trying to make the blind be able to see. We should be trying to make those who are bent straight up. So it's not just that we're thankful to Hashem that he's done this for us and we were reflective for our own lives. It's a charge for us. This is why it's a general statement. It's not, this is thank you Hashem for doing this for me. Thank you Hashem more broadly is a message to us. Therefore, you take the charge to go help others in that ethical, moral mission. That's a fascinating spin. And there's some interesting research. If you go to the last page in the bottom right-hand corner, David DeSteno has a few good books on this in the popular literature, but here's from one of his articles. It's entitled, you could get the main point from the title, Gratitude and Pro-Social Behavior, which he argues that gratitude actually helps us become better people to others, not just the people who give us goods, that we're thankful to them and we're nicer to them. That's true. That's the social aspect of reciprocity and feeling, building relationships to that person. But they went so far to experiment to show that people who feel and express gratitude then actually do nicer things for strangers, for other people, not just the people who were their benefactors. So what Rav Salvechik, that seems to be encapsulated in what Rav Salvechik is saying here, is the message of Birchos HaShachar isn't just that I feel gratitude for myself or I feel gratitude to God, but that needs to then be sent outside to go the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro to help others and become better people. So in the last part of this year, probably overdid the source sheet here a little bit, so we're not going to get to everything. But in the last part of this year, what I want to do is take some of these insights in terms of the depth and the breadth of gratitude and see what that has to do with Hanukkah. And then hopefully close with the concept of the third idea of breath. So we have depth as in the thinking going down 1,000 people, the breath as in the wide span of things that we should be grateful for, and then how that's not just about for myself. Yes, that's true. It's not just about for God. Yes, that's true. But it's also about helping others and going, doing chesed. But now, and we'll close after the Hanukkah is going to build us for the concept of breath as in breathing. So go to the third page on the right-hand side. on the top of the page. This is taken from it's a fascinating book. It's called the Olam Odecha. It's a compilation by Rav Yitzchak Zev Fish of, it's like 500 pages of gratitude that's found in Chazal. Anytime you find Chazal, later Rishonim, Achronim, concept of gratitude, he compiles it. It's a Likud Sefer and puts it all in the book. It's an amazing, if you like gratitude, you got to get the book, Olam Odecha. And here, this is actually related to the other concepts, spinning it into Hanukkah. He says, Mishanasta lo tova ba'avar kvar hoda aleha. Let's say something good happened to me, and I thank Hashem for it already. Kasher mitchadesh lo tova nosefet, sarich hu lahodot ala tova hachadasha. When a new benefit comes to me, I need to obviously state my gratitude for that new benefit, but biyachad ima lahodot gam al tovot ha'avar. With that new benefit, I also have to, it never expires, the original gratitude. I should recite gratitude and state my gratitude for even the things in the past that I've already done. I've already said gratitude for that. You know, it reminds me, and hopefully we'll see this, in terms of, we have a similar concept about tshuva, right? Even though I did tshuva, every year I'm supposed to do tshuva for the things that I did, I already did tshuva for. It's a machlokas in the Gemara, but there's no expiration date on the tshuva. Here, and we'll see the connection between gratitude and tshuva, repentance, hopefully soon. But the concept here is that it's always have to bring up that past gratitude. As it says in the Gemara, we say a bracha, Hashem made a miracle for me in this place. If there's two places where I was benefited through a miracle, I have to say a bracha on that second place as well. And it all gets incorporated and encapsulated in, you know, the each place that I'm saying a bracha has elements of the previous places as well. Kimokin, second paragraph, kasher anu modim al nes she'ira betkufa misuyemes. So let's go from the personal to the national. If there's a specific time period that we are grateful for, anu maskirim gam nisim acherim she'iru betkufos acheros. We mention all the miracles that happen even in other time periods. What's the example? Lemashal b'shir ma'osur. When we sing ma'osur on Hanukkah, shekol imbo gam es shara ge'ulos. We incorporate and encapsulate all the other redemptions. It's not just about Hanukkah. So here I have Hanukkah. And if I was not thinking critically or in depth or breadth about gratitude, I'd say, okay, Hanukkah's great. Have gratitude. Yes, amazing. But no, you have to go deeper. You have to make sure that you're also widening your stance and your glance at what we're grateful for. This is an opportunity to be grateful. Don't just be grateful for this. Be grateful for everything and make sure you mention that. Then another example is in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah is not just something that we thank Hashem for giving us one redemption, but it's about all redemptions, and he brings some other sources for that as well. In terms of Hanukkah, so what are we grateful for on Hanukkah, and what does Hanukkah have to do with gratitude? So Rav Huttner has a famous piece where he talks about Hanukkah. The way it gets quoted is that he's going to have an insight about gratitude that has nothing to do with Hanukkah per se. He then goes and analyzes it in a Hanukkah context. But the main message is usually actually taken out of the Hanukkah context and just made as a broad message. Just a broad message about gratitude. And hopefully we'll see that, or at least I'll show you that Rav Huttner is getting this from the Maharal. So let's read this inside. Binyan hamilim shalashan hakodesh nizdamnu lepundak echad shnei musagim. In the one word of gratitude in Hebrew, you actually have two sounds like competing or different, but really at the core, we're going to argue have the same message. Habat hachzakat tova. One gratitude is that we are moda, is that we're thankful. And the second is to agree, to admit. So gratitude means both to thank and to admit. So what's the connection between admitting and gratitude? So Rav Huttner develops, and for the sake of time, I'm going to quote it outside. You can see it inside if you want. Rav Huttner develops is that in order to feel gratitude, what do we need? What's the core principle? Is that I have to admit that it's not all about me, that I'm not self-sufficient. Anytime we say thank you to somebody, we're saying I couldn't have done this by myself. So we are acknowledging the other in our own self, in our own world, in our own self-development. Not everybody can do that. Some people, if I'm narcissistic or if I have low self-esteem, it's going to be hard for me to always acknowledge that somebody else is responsible for me. But at the core of gratitude is admitting, that's the mode, I admit that it's not just me and there are other people who have helped me get to where I am. That's the hoda'ah in terms of the thanks. So that's at the core of what gratitude's about. We'll come back to the Siftei Chaim in a second, but if you flip the page, as I told you, Rav Huttner, even though he doesn't quote it directly, seems to be referencing a core idea in the Maharal. So Maharal writes in the Nesiv HaTshuva, if you want to, you look at the top, the concept of tshuva, I told you is we're going to say is related to gratitude as well. We'll develop that perhaps in pre-Rosh Hashanah. But the Maharal in the top, in the context of tshuva, says that hodah, I have to admit my mistakes, is that I'm also giving myself over to God. I'm admitting and giving over. I'm submitting myself to God. And then in the footnote 29, Rabbi Hartman quotes a few times where the Maharal talks about this. One is in this past week's Parsha, in the Siv HaAvas HaShem. He said, Yaakov says, Katonti mikol hachasadim. I am small because of all of the greatness that Hashem has done for me. So in that, that's an acknowledgement of gratitude. It's an acknowledgement that I couldn't do this all for myself. And there's an element of humility that comes along with that. So that's in this constellation of gratitude, you need to incorporate a humility that it's not all about me. I can look outside myself, thank others, thank God, and I'm reliant. And what the Maharal is adding here is I actually have to submit myself, indebt myself on some level to all of those people, and more prominently here in this discussion, to God, who has helped get me to where I am. So we're moda al hatov. If you just follow the underlines for a minute, you're moser atzmo behoda'aso al Hashem Yisbarach. I'm giving myself over through my gratitude to God. And next underline, genuzehi ha-hakara she'ein lo mi'atzmo klum. Embedded in this, Rabbi Hartman argues, is that I am acknowledging that from myself, I'm not self-sufficient. I can't do everything on my own. So, and now Rav Hartman quotes that's what Rav Huttner says in the Pachad Yitzchak, that hoda is kolelet betocha habat hoda, I'm expressing gratitude, but also hoda'at baldin shalit le'megarmim klum. I'm also admitting that I don't have, I'm admitting that I'm to somebody else that I'm not able to do this all on my own. Again, there's the admit and the thanks come together. So go back now. We're going to bring this to a close in a moment. If you go back now to the last page on page 3, the Siftei Chaim, so Rav Chaim Friedlander has a beautiful insight from the Pri Tzadik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, that ties in this idea in a pretty fascinating way. So he starts off in the first paragraph by saying that every name is important. So the name Matisyahu and Yochanan must be important as well. So we have to analyze what the meaning of Matisyahu and Yochanan are and how that affects the concept of Hanukkah. So he quotes the Pri Tzadik, second paragraph, Maspirat HaShemot, Matisyahu is Matat Yud Hei Vav. So there's a gift giving, Yud Hei Vav Hashem. Yochanan is Yud Vav, also Hashem, and Hanan, grace, to Hashem graced me. Kilomar, as if to say, Hashem hu hanosein v'hachonin. God is one who gives, and the God is the one who graces. Hu mevi et divrei Gemara. So Rav Friedlander says that Rav Sado quotes the Gemara, Haroah Hanina Hananya Yochanan b'chalom. Gemara in Brachos talks about dreams. If you see these people, these names of people, or the people who have these names in a dream, nisei nisim nasulo. There's some element of miracles that's embedded in that. And Rashi explains, Hanina is nun in harbe. There's a lot of nuns, and that is nisim harbe. The Maharsha, mivayer sheshemot elu, mashmam, chen is chanino matnan chinam. There's an element of grace, of gift. What's the connection between mawa kesher shebein matnat chinam lenisim, between a free gift and miracles? This is going to bring home a point that we mentioned before. Habeir hu. Kasher makir adam shlo kocho v'hishtadlutso v'aflo masav atovim v'schiyosav mevim lo es mevuaksho. Once we realize that it's not about me, right? My success is not just about me. Elo yodeo margish ki Hashem b'chaninuso hu anosin lo es akol b'mat naskinim. God is gracing me and giving me everything for free. I don't deserve it. I'm not deserving of getting up and having all of these wonderful things that I take for granted. It's a gift. And that gift is, he's going to go so far to say, is a miracle. And we should be looking at all of the things that are happening to us as free gifts from God. And those are miracles. So there's a element of giving over, recognizing everything's from Hashem, everything's a gift, and there's some element of nace, miracle involved with that. And then he closes off and he says, it's a beautiful idea. We say, Rabim miad biad ma'atim, the many in the hands of the few. So perhaps you could understand that. I think this is what he's saying. It might not be exactly what he's saying, but I think you can understand that. The ma'atim, it's not just the few, but you can understand that it almost like Yaakov's katonti mikola chasadim. I become small. Our ma'atim is not just few in number, is that we lower ourselves. We are humble. And it is part of that humility that allows us to gain these miracles from God. God sees we're not thinking this is about me. He's not thinking about that I've accomplished this. Kochi votzim yadi. We're acknowledging this is about God, even though the Chashmonaim went and fight. It's not passivity, but it's acknowledging that everything that I accomplish is because God has allowed me to accomplish that. It is that katonti, it is that ma'atim, it is that humility that allows us to fully express the depths of the gratitude. And some interesting, we're not going to have time to go into it, but if you look on the page 5, there's an interesting contrast to this between the Jewish view and the Aristotelian view of what gratitude's all about. It happens to be that in the literature that builds up and tries to quote all the amazing things about gratitude, there's one bad guy when it comes to gratitude that gets quoted all the time, and that's Aristotle. Apparently, and there's some debate within this in the philosophical literature in the modern times, Aristotle, again, caveats and debates aside for a second, seems to not have liked gratitude. Why didn't he like gratitude? Because in part, this is exactly this point, part of gratitude is admitting that it's not about me, and it's about submissiveness, humility. He wasn't so into humility. He was pretty much into self-sufficiency and thinking that I can do things, right? I have the power. And there's some interesting analysis here by Daniel Frank, who's a Maimonidean scholar, who connects this with what are the two exceptions to where the Rambam doesn't follow Aristotle's golden mean. It's anger and humility. Usually we follow the middle path. But when it comes to anger and humility, the Rambam, unlike Aristotle, says, go to an extreme. Be extremely, extremely humble and never feel anger. So what Professor Frank does here is he puts all these things together and says that all of that has to do with Aristotle thinking that the term here is megalopsychia, right? That there, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is that it's I should feel proud and good about myself. And that's not a rabbinic idea. That's not a Torah idea. Healthy self-esteem is good, but not at the expense of humility. And part of the message of Hanukkah is admitting humility. I can't do this all on my own. God's helping me out. Other people are helping me out. And that's what helps us get to that concept of gratitude again, which Aristotle seemed to not be such a huge fan of. I'd like to close with page 6. And let's bring it to the final breath, the breathing, as it relates to Hanukkah and as it relates to gratitude. So there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara does not talk about Hanukkah in too many places. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about it and asks, what's Hanukkah all about? And it gives you a little bit of the historical background. Then the end of that source number 1 there, says that Chazal made this into a Asum Yamim Tovim Bahalel Bahoda'ah. These were days of praise and Hoda'ah, which is gratitude. What's the Hoda'ah? What's the gratitude? So Rashi says that the gratitude is expressed through, how do I express my gratitude on Hanukkah? So through Al HaNisim, it's through my recitation, a halal I sing, and through the recitation of Al HaNisim, I express my gratitude. Look at a fascinating source number 3, the Piskei Ri'az, has a slightly different read of it. He says, L'shana acheres kavum v'asum shmonat yamim, shegomrim behenet ha'halal, umodim al ha'nes b'hadlakas ha'neros. We thank God through, what's the gratitude? What's our expression of gratitude? The lighting of the candles. Here's a little bit of a paradigm shift. We don't usually think about candle lighting as gratitude, but if at the very least when we light candles this year, if you think that this, I am thanking you, Hashem, gratitude, this act of lighting is an act of gratitude. And there's a lot to analyze there. But if you look here, there's a connection to the pasuk in Mishlei, source number 4, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam Chofes Kol Chadrei Baten, the life breath of man is the lamp of the Lord. So there's a connection here between neshama, which translated here as life breath, and lamp, candle. So we already see there's a hint here of where we're going to go with this. And then in source number five, the Ali Shur, Revolbi, has a beautiful piece that sort of ties in a lot of the concepts that we've spoken about. He says that the concept of kol zman shanashama bekirbi, moda ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, anytime that my neshama is within me, I'm thanking you, Hashem. So Revolbi says that kol eskenu b'chaim hu rak davar echad. Our whole purpose in life is all about lahodos, to thank. The first word we say when we get up in the morning is moda ani. Have omer akaras atovo da eno midos tovos ba'ama. Gratitude is not just a good trait to have. Ki im zeu ikar haneshama. It is the essence of our soul. Gratitude is the essence of our soul. And then in the last source, source number six, the Medrash says, Reb Levi b'shemer b'chanina, Amar, al kol neshima b'neshima, sha'adam no shame, tzarich lekales libore. Every breath we take, we have to praise Hashem. My taima, why? Because the Pasuk Ketilim says, kol haneshama tehalel ka. My whole soul should thank God. How do we read that whole soul? Kol haneshima tehalel ka. Every breath, soul, breath connected. Every breath we should thank Hashem. Don't take anything for granted. We're indebted to Hashem for every breath. And if we're able to take this perspective, A, that there's a depth to gratitude, that I have to think deeply. What, who are the 1,000 people I have to thank because of this cup of coffee? Or who I am right now? Who are those 1,000 people? It's a tremendous exercise you want to do over Thanksgiving. Maybe not 1,000, you know, keep it to 10, right? Who are the 10 people I have to thank? And then express it, tell it to them. This week, I was preparing this year already for a while, and I'm like looking at all the strategies, talking about gratitude. I'm like, I haven't thanked anybody. So on Wednesday, I literally sent voice notes to around 7 to 10 people, teachers, parents, who've affected me. Nothing crazy, nothing elaborate or extensive, but 30 seconds. Thank you for everything you've done to help me to get to where I am today. And it's amazing. First of all, how I felt, the Bein Adam La'atzmo felt good. But the Bein Adam Chavero, it made their day as well. There's a tremendous power in gratitude if we express it. So take this time, whether it's Thanksgiving or Hanukkah, to think deeply about gratitude, to think the breadth of all of the things I have to stay grateful for. And once we open our eyes and we expand our parameters and we're not limited in what I'm grateful for, everything's an opportunity to be grateful to you, to somebody else, to the $20 I find on the street, to God. Every time you do something to me, I'm not just thankful to you, I'm thankful to God as well. It's tremendous, endless opportunities for us to express our thanks. So with that, I would like to express my thanks to you for giving this opportunity to speak. And I hope that we can all incorporate and encapsulate and really internalize a lot of the virtue of what gratitude is all about, so we can improve our Bein Adam La'atzmo for ourselves, our Bein Adam La'chavero for others, and our Bein Adam La'makom, our relationship with God as well.